Let's just open a prayer. My name is Mary. Father God, we thank you for this place. We thank you for this time to come together and hear your word. Father God, we just ask you to bless this time, ask you to bless the words that you're going to give me that as we read through your scripture and how they can show us how they can apply to our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my name again is Mary, and I wanted to preach tonight, speak tonight about peace. I was praying before I came, and I was like, all right, Lord, I know you have a good message for everybody tonight. What do you want us to hear? And of course, it said peace, and I feel like I've preached on it before when I've been here, and I'm like, peace? I'm sure they've heard that message before, and he said, no, we've got to hear it again. So I'm like, all right, I'm here. I want to talk about peace, and I think not only do we want peace, but Jesus wants us to have peace. He talked about it many times in the New Testament, about peace. The problem is our circumstances and the cares of the world and the situations that we're in robs us of the peace that God wants us to have. I know for a fact, on the way here, I was asking my son to put some stuff in the car, and I went around the corner, and I thought he'd be done, because I didn't want to be late, and he's screwing around, being a kid, and next thing I know, I'm yelling at him, I'm screaming at him, what are you doing? I'm going to be late, and instantly, my peace was gone. I'm thinking, all right, I'm driving here, I've been studying all the last 2 days about peace. And 5 minutes before I get into my car, I lose my peace, I lose my temper, and I'm screaming at my son. What a better object lesson for the preacher to learn a lesson, right? But what happened? A situation that I didn't expect happened. Now, that's minor, right? I'm sure all of you are here because of some sort of circumstance, because of some sort of situation in your life that you were not expecting to happen. And I imagine that probably stole some of your peace, probably some of your joy, too. I'm in this situation. So we know that the cares of the world are going to choke this out, the peace. And so what did Jesus say? In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. All right? He's telling us these things so we can have peace. And what else does he go on to say? In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's really interesting that Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't say, oh, follow me and you're never going to have any problems. Yeah? 16:33. Yep, that's okay. John 16:33. It's a really good one. If you've not read that one, written it down, posted it in your room somewhere, I suggest it. I'm going to read it again. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Jesus, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He didn't say you have overcome the world. He said I have overcome the world. Jesus, only in him can you have peace, because only he has overcome the world.
What verse was that again?
33. John 16:33. He says, I want you to have peace, but it's got to be in me. What I also find interesting is he says, take heart. In the New King James, it says, be of good cheer. How about you? But when there's trouble in this world, it's hard to be of good cheer. It's hard to take heart and be happy about my situation. And he's not saying you have to be happy about the troubles of the world. Be happy that you're in me and that I've overcome the world for you. The situations that we're in are real. What we do affects the situation, but what we think affects our peace. And what I found the more and more I studied peace in the scriptures is that peace is not about our situation. Peace is about what's in our heart and our mind. And what's interesting is I can steal things from you physically. I can take something away from you. I could hit you. I could beat you up. I could lock you up. But I can't take anything out of your mind. I mean, I guess unless I hit you with a crowbar and you had a coma or something, I damaged your brain. But if I didn't damage your brain, I can't take anything out of your mind. So what you put in there has to sustain you. Just like eating, right? They say you are what you eat. You eat a bunch of junk, you're going to feel like crap, you're going to have effects, you're going to see yourself differently, right? What you put in your mind, it's the same thing. You are what you eat, you are what you learn, what you think, what you hear, what you say. So, peace is a state of mind, and the only one who can control it is you. Nobody else can take your peace, but you can give it away. Today, I gave my peace away. Today, I had a split second there where I could have just said, he's being a kid, I'm going to be patient, and like I'll help him finish putting the boxes in the car. Instead, I chose to yell. Now, bad habits are hard to break, I will admit that. I confess more than once that I have a bad habit of yelling at my kids when I'm frustrated. I can say excuses, I can say I was taught that, I learned that because my dad was a yeller, my dad yelled at me all the time, so I learned that when I'm frustrated, I yell. I can admit that situations in the past have taught me something, but I can choose to make new habits. I can choose to instantly say, that robbed me of my peace. Lord, forgive me for yelling at my son and help me do better tomorrow. And I'm going to read more verses. I'm going to have more self-control. I want more of God's spirit in me so those fruits can come out. We've talked about this before. The fruits of the spirit, peace, joy, love, self-control. As soon as you ask Jesus in your heart, his Holy Spirit is there with you. Jesus says, I must go. So the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will be with you. It comes with some fruits. Now, we all know that I can find a banana that's nice and green and small, and I can find a big yellow ripe banana, and I can hold them both up, and they're both a banana. But one's not ripened yet. One hasn't grown. One hasn't matured. So don't tell me that you don't have patience, you don't have self-control, you don't have joy or peace. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins, you've asked him, you've called on him, you know you have salvation, you believe that Holy Spirit has given you those fruits. They might not be mature yet. Now it's your job to ripen them up. It's your job to apply a little bit of the sun, right? We get some fruit, we go and we put it in the sun. Our son just happens to be Jesus, S-O-N. The more you get in him, he said, in me you have peace. Because he's overcome the world. So, got to get into Jesus. You got to get his words in you. You've got to let that wash your mind, renew your spirit. So when these circumstances just go out of control, and you're frustrated, you're angry, you go to God's word. You say, I don't understand. And he says, greater is in you than he that is in the world. I have overcome the world. I will give you peace in the midst of the situation. Yep, trouble's going to come, but come to me. In Romans 8, 6, I love this passage here. It's really good. It says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. They're saying it right there. Your mind, it's what you're thinking about. If we haven't let Jesus wash us, clean us up, we haven't spent time to get in his word and put in all that good stuff so we have good thoughts, it's going to bring us death. We know that. I've lived there before. Somebody looked at me funny in the store and I think, what does she think? What is this person doing in this situation? My mind would go in with death thoughts. Anger, bitterness, rage. But when I fall on Jesus and get in his word and say, love is kind, love is patient, I'm going to pray for my enemies. I don't know what her situation is. I'm going to change my thoughts and the way I think about the people that are making me mad about this situation. I'm going to just trust in God, even though I don't want to. It's all in our minds. It's all in our thoughts. Yes, the situation is real, but how we think about it is different. What is our minds focused on? What are we thinking about? Where are our thoughts? I have a situation in my life where, in my background, in my past, my birth mother was attacked on her way home from work one night. Because we have small children in the room, I'm going to let you imagine what happened to her that 9 months later I was born. Okay, I'm part of a group of women where that was all the case. All of them don't know who their fathers are. Well, one woman's pretty sure because he's done it to other women and he's in jail because of it. So we get together and we talk. And I just had a woman the other day call me, and she said, Mary, she was adopted. She said, I just found out that my case has been left open for 2 more months, and my birth mother doesn't want to talk to me. She doesn't want to relive that painful experience she had, but I want to ask her more questions. How do I go through life thinking that I was never wanted, that she gave me away? And I look at her, because I'm also adopted, and I say, we weren't given away. We were given a family. We were given somebody who loves us. We're not the daughter of the bad man or the woman who didn't want us. We're daughters of the Most High God. I said, it's all about how you view your life. Are you going to see a glass half empty or a glass half full? Exactly, and this is what I had to talk to her about. And I realized, in this situation, she does not have peace yet, because her thoughts are dwelling on the negative end and what she's heard people say. But yet, I live the same type of life. My story is actually even more interesting than hers, and yet I don't view myself that way. What's the difference between the two women? It's how we view the situation, what our thoughts are, what we're focused on. If I know that God in heaven knew me when I was created in my mother's womb, and he had a hope, and he had a future, and he had a plan for me, despite the circumstances I went through, I wasn't even adopted until I was 5. I kept going back from house to house. When I was with my birth mother, she didn't even give me bottles. She didn't change my diaper. I'd come out of there in a bad situation. I don't focus on that. I don't say, yeah, I was an orphan until the age of 5. I say, God knew the plan and purpose that he had for me. I got married at 18, had 2 kids, ended up divorced, was a single mom. I don't say, look at me, look how awful my past has been. Look where I had to go through. I look back and I say, God still was with me even during those circumstances. So I don't know what each and every one of your situations are, but it's temporary. We know that God has a plan for you. And what we need to do is we need to focus more on the positive and get our minds focused on that. And I think it's really interesting that part of the whole process with being in this particular place, it's not just bed and food. It's chapel. And I'm sure that there have been many people that have come through here that this is the one part they don't like. But my hope is that night after night, that there are good speakers in here that are pouring in God's love and his mercy and his compassion and his hope in your hearts. Because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more that you hear how much you're loved, that the world is going to be the world. We can't control that. That doesn't define who you are. We can go back to many different circumstances with people and say, this happened to them. It happened. But what's next? My prayer is for all of you that you will get one of these Bibles. There's paperback Bibles over there, the blue ones. There's the brown ones you can take. Take it back to your room. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read why Jesus came. I have had so many different people tell me that Jesus came to condemn me, Mary. Jesus came to tell me I'm a sinner. And I beg to differ. It says in John 3:16, you've all heard it, and I've repeated it over and over again while I've been here. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't stop there. It goes on. It said, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He did not come to condemn us. I have made mistakes. I am a sinner. I still am. I am saved by the grace of God. I am not righteous. I am so far from being righteous, but I can put on God's righteousness. I can read his word. I can be forgiven. I can come to him and repent, and he will forgive me, and he will love me, and he will bless me. I once had a woman say, God can't bless me. Oh, really? Why is that? Because I've been divorced. I'm like, I've been divorced, and God's blessed me. Jesus talked to the woman at the well. She'd been married 5 times and was living with a man. And he offered her living water. He said, I'm the Messiah. He stayed in that town for 3 days to validate her testimony because she went and told other people and came back. She has got to be a preacher. She preached to the whole village. They all came out to hear her because her words were so powerful. Where do we get these thoughts in our heads? That because I made a mistake, that God can't bless me anymore. He can't love me. I'm not his child anymore. My kids make mistakes all the time, and I still love them, and I still bless them, and I still feed them, and I still take care of them. Now, sometimes the circumstances they get themselves into, if one of my kids jumps off the roof and breaks his leg, I'm going to love him and help him through that, but he's still going to suffer the pain of a broken leg. So we're going to make mistakes that sometimes cause us pain, but that doesn't mean the parent doesn't love them. So don't associate your earthly pain with God punishing you when sometimes it's the people around us or ourselves that have put us in the painful situation. I just want to kind of read some of these scriptures. They're so powerful. And this is why I always encourage people to get in their word. Colossians 3:15. And I've got a bunch. So if you ladies want to come up afterwards, I can write them down for you. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ, again, it's not our peace, it's his. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ, these words, it's so good, you guys, we got to get these words in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. It's really powerful that they're talking about that peace ruling in you, the words of God getting that in you, and being thankful. When I'm in a bad situation, it's hard to be thankful. But you know what? That's the first thing that you want to change. How do I change my attitude, Mary? How do I change my thoughts? When I'm mad, I'm mad. All right, you're mad at this situation. Find one reason to be thankful. You still thankful you're alive? Are you still thankful that, you know, this didn't happen? Or, you know, what are you thankful for in this situation? There's got to be something. It's hard. Maybe you're just thankful you got breath. Thankful you're still saved. Thankful you really didn't punch out the guy you wanted to punch out. I don't know. But if you start there, you start with that being thankful. It goes on. In Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. It's hard to do that sometimes. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a good one. What steals your peace sometimes is fear. If I'm afraid, if I'm fearful, maybe I got to go do something I really don't want to do. I got to face somebody. I got to face a situation. What is it saying? Don't be afraid because I'm going to be with you. God is going to be with you. Trust and believe that God is going to be with you in that circumstance. I'm going to all these scriptures because I want you guys to see that bad times have come to many people. And when those bad times came, this is what God's words were. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you peace. I've overcome the world. In me, you'll make it. John 14:27 is over here. Peace I leave with you. Now this is Jesus talking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Because what? The world gives us false hope, but God gives us something real. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Again, we're getting that. Do not be afraid. No, it's hard. But we have to learn how to trust in God. That he's going to be with us. That he's going to be with us. It's his peace that he gives us. We got to bury his words deep in our hearts so that peace won't ever leave us. My last one, Psalms 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. See how we come back to that whole blessing us? If we don't feel worthy of his blessings, it's hard to believe that, isn't it? You're worthy of his blessings. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to get in his word. He wants you to pray. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I had a child that moved far away and the only way I could communicate with them is writing letters, can you imagine me getting letters from them and not reading them? Can you imagine if my son was in Iraq right now fighting a war and he's mailing me letters? Mom, it's a communication blackout. Can't call you on the cell phone. But I can write you a letter, and when we get the mail out, you'll get a letter. What if a whole stack came one day? A whole, 3 months worth. It's a big stack. Oh, I don't have time to do that. And at least there's letters there. It means he's alive, right? He's still in my life. I'll just give him a hug when I see him again. I would read them. That relationship, that mother-son relationship, God wants to have that with you. He wants you to be his child. And he's written you these letters. I've had people say, Mary, that's just a book. I beg to differ. Thankfully, because of modern technology, we can take all these historical documents that we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of in the original Greek and Hebrew that they are unearthing all the time, that they're comparing, that they're making sure is accurate. Then they're able to take a whole panel of experts and make them in a language that we can understand and put it in a book form for us, doesn't change what they are. These are words from the Most High God. When you do some studying and research, which you probably don't have time to do, so you just need to hear it from people who have done it, we learn about how the Jewish rabbis taught their students. This wasn't new that Jesus had all these disciples. That's what men did. They found this wonderful man that knew the scriptures and wanted to teach, and they would follow him. And he would go from town to town to town to go over the scriptures and to preach. And what they actually did was they would make it in poem form. Of course, it doesn't rhyme now because it was written in the original Greek at the time. But what Jesus would say over and over and over again from town to town to town to town, his disciples' jobs were to memorize it word for word. And that's why he sent them out. He sent 12 out over here. He sent 70 out over here. He sent 120 out over here. And what did they go and say? The scriptures and the passages and the parables that Jesus had taught them year after year, month after month, day after day. And thankfully, those who were even educated at the higher level, like Matthew, who was a tax collector and trained by the Roman government, was able to write them all down. So when people say to me, you don't know if Jesus really said that, I say, yes, I do. Because God is a very smart God. He knows what he's doing. He waited till there was a time and a place and a culture where it was not abnormal for these boys to learn and to memorize things. How could they memorize so many different stories and so many different poems? How many different songs could you sing me right now? If I were to say, everyone, let's sing Happy Birthday, you all know the words. Most of you probably know Amazing Grace or, you know, some of these classic songs. Why? Because you've heard them on the radio. You've heard these classic songs over and over and over again. And these guys, this was their life. That's all they did. They heard Jesus' words day after day. And when they realized and they had a touch from him after he came back, whoa, we saw him die, now he's alive again. This really is the Son of God. Now our eyes are truly open. The Holy Spirit came down upon them. They wrote it down for us today. So his letters, his actual words are right here. It's the only time in modern day history when I can have a whole stack of them and just hand them out for free. We're too busy. We're too distracted. We don't have time. We're not really sure. We don't understand it. So we just don't read it. What he wanted for us to bury deep down in our hearts so we could walk around with ripened fruit, joy unspeakable, peace that surpasses all understanding, patience, love, kindness, self-control. We don't have time for that. And instead, we live miserable lives, and I've been there, and I've done that. So, I ask you, if you want the peace, if you want the joy, something that nobody else can take away from you, then let's put in a little of God's word. Let's get ourselves in the sun. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If all you do is read the book of Mark or the book of Luke, I tell you, your lives will never be the change. You'll see a Savior. You'll see a God who loves you. in a way you've never, ever seen him before. So that's my prayer for you. If you want the peace, the true state of mind, read God's words. Find out how much he loves you. I'm just going to pray over all of you, and I just hope that you have a wonderful evening and that you grab a Bible if you haven't had one already. Father God, we just thank you so very much for loving us, for giving us your word, for letting us bury those scriptures deep in our hearts so that we can walk in peace and joy and love despite this troublesome world that wants to weigh us down. Father God, we thank you that this is all temporary, but as we get more and more in your word and understand your love and grace for us, we realize that there's a brighter future and hope for tomorrow, that we don't have to stay in this circumstance forever, that, Father God, we are children of you, that when we said we want Jesus Christ in our heart, that you took that for real and you want to transform us. Now we have to do our part. Jesus died on the cross so that we would have the right to hear his words and to have salvation. We thank you for that. Father God, I just ask you to pour out blessings and favor upon these people as they go out day after day and they have decisions to make and opportunities to face. Father God, I pray that you open doors and, Father God, that you bring this message back to their mind over and over again as they reach for their Bible, as they see it on the counter, and that there's a desire kindled in them right now to actually read your word and find out how much you love them and what words you actually said. Father God, I just pray that if someone does need someone to help them with understanding, that you bring the right people in their lives and that they will be able just to grow in your word. Father God, I thank you for healings emotionally, physically, and in situations and relationships. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 So you guys have a wonderful evening. Thank you.